Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jen and Joe.
I'm here.
I see ya.
Hey, Joe, brother.
You look a little tired.
I am. I don't know why. I like got 5 days off, but I'm more tired now. I guess it was all that Christmas decorating. I got my tree up. Of course, you saw it because you were at my studio yesterday.
Yeah.
Anyways, we had a wonderful, amazing duo come in, and we have a great interview for you guys.
This is awesome. You guys are going to love this interview. Christopher and Sarah from Haunted Toledo stopped by to tell us about a house.
Yes. So make sure you tune in and listen to this one, because you guys are going to be amazed.
Let's
at the
get
story.
Right into it, because they're going to love this. So we will talk to you after the interview.
See ya. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
We're broadcasting live, or actually not live.
Well, we're recording live.
Recording live.
From Jen's dining room.
The studio. Studio B, not Studio A.
Yeah. Very interesting story that I heard, saw in the news, and then I found out that Haunted Toledo went to a house in downtown, and we're referring to it as the Bone House. Christopher, what about this Bone House thing?
What is going on with this?
Is Ron Jeremy there?
Is that how this interview is going to go, Joe?
I hope so.
Okay, the Bone House.
Right. So tell us how you first heard about this particular location.
A fan.
Yeah, I think one of his friends is a follower of Haunted Toledo and gave him a call. He was on the news freaking out about finding all these bones. He bought the house for, what, $1,000? Mm-hmm. And he was renovating it, and he knocked into one of the walls to help start replacing drywall, and all these bones fell out on the out of the floor. And it just there was a pile of them. And he's freaking out, thinking there was satanic activity in the home. And he called the police, and somehow the media got involved. They probably heard it on the police scanner. Mm-hmm. And his friend suggested that he call Haunted Toledo. And so it seemed like an interesting story. So I told Sarah to get in touch with him. And it's probably, at the time I was thinking this guy's just, his imagination is going into overdrive, and there's nothing in the house, and all his photos can be explained and all his stories can be explained, and we'll just calm him down and then that'll be the end of it.
So when you got the call, how soon were you able to get out to the location to investigate?
That was like 2 days later.
Yeah. It was pretty, very quick.
So you guys were just available to go and drop everything?
Well, we moved things around for that.
Okay.
Yeah. He was very scared. He was wanting us there that day. Mm-hmm. So we were moving things around to help him.
That's great. Now, the house itself, what does it physically look like? Is it one story, two story?
Two stories. Actually, it's like a one story, and the second story is like more like an attic space.
Okay.
It's hard to tell because the house was all torn apart when we got there. He had already started working on it. And it's got a really small cellar. It's just like any your average home in South Toledo. The old part of South.
Yeah, built in like the 1800s or somewhere around there.
I think the oldest, we found it on a map from 1895. That's as far, as far back as the maps went.
Interesting. And when you go into the location, or before you go into the location, what did you do to prep? Before you went in, what kind of research did you do? What kind of questions did you ask him?
The walkthrough, we didn't really, we just went there just to take a look around and see what he was talking about. And then we scheduled for that weekend to do the first investigation. And we just went down to the library, started looking up information on the house. And there's not much there. It's just a home. There's really no history to it. It's not historic or anything, but we did find out some interesting things about the house.
So do you find most of your information at the downtown Toledo library on places that you do investigate, or is there other
they've got the biggest archive in the area. And if there's something you want to know about any building in Toledo, that'd be the first stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of cool because you can go down there. I went down there the one time and looked up my house, and the lady brought out a big map with photos on it of the actual street and had all the little pictures of the houses when they were built.
Interesting.
Yeah, Toledo's got a great library. I mean, that lot of info up there. It's, what, the fifth floor or something like that?
Third, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get into the location. Now, was this during the day when you first arrived?
The walkthrough?
The walkthrough, yeah.
During the day.
Okay, all right. And then how soon did you set up an investigation?
That weekend.
That weekend, okay. Yeah. So just a couple of days.
Yep.
And tell us a little bit about what that was and how that happened, or what happened during that.
According to him.
I'm probably not the one to ask because, I figured the guy had an overactive imagination. Mm-hmm. And
your objective was just to calm him down and show him nothing was there.
Calm him down. Mm-hmm. Prove it wasn't haunted. Prove that he had nothing to worry about. And basically just hopefully collect no evidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was my entire, I didn't think the place was haunted and nothing. Bones fall out of the wall and they're scattered all over the floorboards in the attic. I mean, it's going to creep anybody out.
Sure. Well, the thing too is I remember talking to you and how you said that at first he just found a few underneath the floorboards. And then as he started digging deeper into the house, he kept finding them falling out of the walls. And
They were everywhere.
Everywhere.
Wow. That's amazing. So the actual structure, so he was tearing off like the siding, but the inside, what would that be, like plaster, drywall?
Yeah. Well, this was that old slat wall.
Oh, okay.
I think it was just going to put drywall up in its place. Gotcha. I mean, he was kind of like ripping out a little bit of everything in the house. He didn't really seem to have a plan to how he was going to renovate this. And okay. It looked like a bomb went off in the house. But yeah, let's go in and take a look and get a good story out of it and mm-hmm. calm them down, and that'll be the end of it.
So when you got in there to investigate, what other type of things did you find besides bones?
The comb.
Yeah, the attic had several spots in the attic. It looked like the floorboards had been cut mm-hmm. to form like a compartment, like a hidden okay. compartment. And inside there were more bones. But they were kind of scattered back underneath the floorboard a little bit. But there was also like ladies' underwear mm-hmm. in those compartments and a comb, like
perfume or something.
Perfume bottles.
Real old stuff.
The comb looked like really antique. It had like the ornate scroll work and mm-hmm. stuff. And then there were matchbox cars.
Mm-hmm. Very odd.
Yeah.
The toy cars out of that was mm-hmm. weird.
So what era would you say the toy cars were? Looked like they were from?
Early 80s maybe.
Yeah, because I know that in a lot of the older buildings, when they do renovations, you find shoes and clothing mm-hmm. in the walls because it was like a, how can I put it? Sort of like to bless the house, they would actually put children's clothing for the vibrance of the mm-hmm. young children's aura or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think, too, like an old house like that, they would use whatever they could to insulate it? Would they newspapers or books? Or
yeah, they used to use newspaper, but not so much clothing.
Yeah.
Or a brush.
Yeah.
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 We don't know. It's speculation, mm-hmm. but it looked kind of like you mix in all these personal items with bones. It looks like souvenirs.
You know? That's what I thought. Yeah.
Like, they were placed there purposely. Mm-hmm.
And these were large bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very large.
Yeah, and some of the pictures on NBC24's website. They were showing jaw bones, and the police must have taken all the biggest bones they could find.
The police only went into the front room,
right,
with those bones. They only took a couple. They didn't go through the whole house. They didn't look at the rest of them. So.
And what did they find out? I mean, what was the determination of what they were?
According to the coroner, it was mainly canine, goat, chicken, a lot of like bird type bones.
Because I did see the picture of the one jawbone. It looked like a goat or something because of the teeth.
Right.
That was very interesting. And it's just so weird that I remember you were saying on another show that the bones were like cleaned.
Yeah.
Oh, they were sawed.
No, I mean the actual meat and everything was taken off the bone.
Yeah.
And I was wondering about that because if the bones are put in the walls, shouldn't there be like stains of, you know, bodily fluids,
because
basically turns oil, stains the walls, and the stench must have been horrendous.
Well, I'm sure mice and rats and different things like that ate what meat and stuff was on it for all those years ago.
Or they could have been put in cleaned.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Was there any charring or evidence of like fire or burns? Anything that you saw?
Yeah, the bones
on the bones or the inside the walls or anything like that?
Take a look at them.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they did. I know we can't see it, but folks, but they did bring us a bag of bones.
Yeah, so what we're looking in here, you know, is, yeah, it's very discolored. This looks almost like a ball socket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's very large.
Yeah, maybe some vertebrae. Something like that. Somebody, I don't know. I get a weird vibe touching them, so I had to give them back.
Some of those
I won't
see,
touch them. They haven't been blaster cleansed.
Yeah.
You can see that they were cut with a...
Yeah, they're definitely...
Like a cleaver or a bandsaw or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, I'm feeling dizzy right now.
Do you know of any witchcraft or satanic practices that were performed in the house?
I know it was Santeria. Other people may have their doubts, but... Mm-hmm. I know it's Santeria. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking, too, when we were talking about how the bones are cut and everything. And you know, but that's the one thing about them being cleaned off, too.
So
it's
so
bizarre.
I mean, would we even have goats in that area? And chickens, right? Because this is pretty much farmland, you know, around here. So, like, in the early 1800s or 1900s, we would have goats, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm assuming this is actually more like the 70s.
Or maybe the 50s.
Maybe, but not too far back.
Right.
Was Santeria popular in the 70s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In that particular neighborhood?
Yeah. Okay.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. What was the ethnic makeup of that neighborhood? Was it a mix, a blend, or?
Hispanic.
Okay.
A lot of immigrants.
Okay.
And that house in particular, everybody that lived there over the years seemed to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Either as part of a family, or they're married into a family, or they knew each other through the Guadalupe Church, which is no longer in existence.
Okay. And that was in the neighborhood?
It was a couple blocks down on Broadway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it a Catholic church?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
It's a Catholic church, but they also practiced Santeria there.
Okay. So would that be like a... Would they blend the religions then?
Well, Santeria is kind of a blend with worship of saints and stuff. So a lot of Hispanic groups are very, almost like Catholic, you know, but this
interesting
sure
that
mix.
There are members of the congregation that probably had no idea what was going on.
True. Mm-hmm.
It was just like a handful of people that practiced.
Now, were there any skulls found? Anybody mention of human skulls or anything?
No, if we had found a skull, we would have had to shut cameras down and call the police, and we would have been ushered out.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Do you think the coroner would have any interest in looking at what the police took? Would they?
Oh, no, the coroner did.
He did.
He ruled everything was primarily canine, with a mixture of others. And he pretty much, based on whatever the cops took, a small pile, that's what he based his findings on. And then he closed the file.
Did you find any bigger bones since then? Or was it pretty much the same consistency?
On the ground floor, they were all kind of like smaller bones. And then when you really dig in through the attic floors, then you're finding the ball joint and the longer bones, leg bones, ribs.
So wherever
some
you
of them
were
are
best-
like that.
Yeah, they were
like 12 inches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the house was full of bones.
So crazy. Now, when you went in to do your paranormal investigation, or just, you know, your investigation, did you have any sense or feeling when you were in the house here?
Mm-hmm. I had it on the walk-in when we did a walkthrough, and I told him that something was there. And he, no, Shelton, nothing's there, Shelton.
No,
so we're much more intuitive and sensitive to those type of things than you men.
See, she gets it.
Yeah, there was nothing there.
Is there something there? Was there something
there? There might have been, based on the video that I watched 2 weeks ago.
Do you want to share that with us?
Yeah, he apologized to me already, but you can do it
on
air.
I didn't apologize to anybody.
I think I have that on text, actually.
Well.
Sarah, I'm sorry. You were right. I think it was haunted.
All right. Okay. what was that, the second one we were at? We get the first one done, and I'm like, okay, fine, let's move on to something else now. And then the very next weekend, guess where we're going?
Going back.
The effing bone house.
Stuff was still happening, and when we were there the first time, things were happening. He doesn't accept it. It's like he has to have solid stuff. I heard voices. It was captured with Steve doing the cameras. When I was blessing the rituals, it was interesting because I was getting growling noises that were audible. I mean, coming up. And he, no, that's not it. That's not it. So the homeowners were still unable to get into the home. They were still very scared. Mm-hmm. They didn't accept that Tillman's, no, there's nothing here, don't worry kind of thing. They said that when they go in, things are still thrown at them. They are hearing noises and
so
stuff.
So they were having like paranormal or poltergeist type activities?
Oh, yeah.
So there was stuff moving in the house when they were in there.
Right.
Okay.
And they were getting very, very strange pictures when they would take pictures.
Were they using a camera or their phone?
Phones.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, but we go on the second one, and he's so angry. He's like, this is a waste of time. We could be somewhere else. There's nothing here. Shelton, you're killing me.
I mean, I remember the guy on the news, and he seemed very high strung. And he's like, they're Satanist here, and they're doing their black magic. This guy's he's got his imagination running wild with him. That's all it is. And then his workers are scared because he's scared, and it's like the, it's the crowd mentality.
Yeah. And it's not every day that you work in a house and you have to clean out more bones and insulation.
Right. Mm-hmm. And doing a, building renovations for 20 years, I know it's very common to dig into a floor and find a dead squirrel or something. Not this many bones, but I have found bones before. And I just figured the guy's just freaking out. He's a barber by trade. He's not really into real estate is kind of probably a retirement plan for him.
And it's so bizarre too, is a lot of people don't realize that when we say that the house is full of bones, it is literally full of bones. Every wall, all the floorboard in between everything. I mean, how many years and have they been stuffing these bones in the walls? And how have they been stuffing them in the walls?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and what kind of energy happened when those animals, or maybe possibly humans, allegedly, how did they meet their fate, to get there?
And what was the cause? Was it a protection thing? Was it, something to curse somebody? We couldn't figure that out. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you never know. I mean, like you were saying, that the trinkets found in the walls may be to help, but who knows? We don't know.
Don't they say most serial killers keep a memento?
Mm-hmm. They start with animals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Maybe you have to look into the history of, missing people around that time frame.
I'm really confident that it was Santeria. Very confident. I don't think it was a serial killer. In fact, on our second investigation, when we went back, we put a Santeria music playing to trigger, and we let it play for 20 minutes before, 15 minutes before.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sent the homeowner and his wife, wonderful people, loved them. And we sent them upstairs and had them kind of do some provocation.
Yeah,
in the dark by themselves.
That's always great.
Yeah.
We sat in the RV and just watched him on the monitors.
Mm-hmm. And while he complained that there was nothing here.
And so were the homeowners were open to doing that? Were they fearful or?
The husband really did not like it. Mm-hmm. Really didn't want much to do with that. The wife, man, she was a natural. I mean, I was like, she could be on our team. she was awesome. She was on it. But the husband, I don't think paranormal's his
gig.
Right.
Did they have Were they feeling or sensing anything? Was that why he wasn't into it? Was it just scaring him, or was he just like, I'm not, this is
just the past experiences that he had in there. Mm-hmm. He was on guard and waiting for it. Mm-hmm. And then it sure freaked him out when the night picked up and all that activity started.
Yeah.
And I'm shooting looks at Tillman when stuff was happening, saying, yep, see what I tell you.
So what did you find, or all right, what did you see?
What did he find and see?
It was like, well, I spent most of the second investigation in the RV with the food and
pouting.
Yeah.
Under a blanket.
Right. And it was like 2 o'clock.
Watching ghost boobies on YouTube or something.
Damn right. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and Shelton here, you know, agreed, if we don't get anything by 2 o'clock in the morning, we're going home early.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm counting down the minutes, and then all of a sudden we got one of our production manager. He sets up boom mics. In the places we go to, everywhere there's a DVR camera, he sets up a boom mic so we can hear what's going on in that room. And so I'm just sitting there listening, and they're about to come down the stairs, and I hear a big commotion and a bunch of screaming and yelling. And I'm like, I don't even want to know what's going on. I'm just going to sit here and wait for them to come out and tell me. And then she's saying that a board got thrown at him as they were coming.
And he's like, whatever.
Yeah.
It fell.
Picks or it didn't happen. And the DVR for the attic at the time was pointed away from where the whole thing happened. So I'm like, I didn't see it.
Okay.
And nothing happened. I didn't see it. It's not recorded. Let's go home.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, something happened. So we didn't get to go home at 2 o'clock. We stayed there till like 4:30, 5 o'clock.
It was touching the REM pod on command over and over.
There was there was
some threats of me blessing the ritual again, but it listened.
And there was enough weird stuff going on to be like any other location. I would say that's pretty cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But the Bone House, I was dead set that this guy was just letting his imagination run wild, and there was nothing there.
No, mm-hmm. This was intelligent answers. We had two flashlights put on one side of the room. And the other one on the other side of the room. And we would ask, turn on the one on the right, if it, you know, you're actually here. And it would happen. And we don't usually ever go by flashlights.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. so, I don't know. It's like, just, you can't really trust that. But we were getting EVPs with it. We were getting REM pods being touched. Every time we would say, you know, if you don't start touching this REM pod, letting us know you're here, Sarah's going to start blessing this house. And it would go and touch it.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
Immediately. And it was, it didn't even seem like it needed to gain energy or anything. It just was, like, on it, you know.
I just didn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
How many cameras did you have set up?
One, two,
at least three.
Three, and then the handhelds.
Yeah. Three handhelds and then three DVR cameras.
Okay. What other types of equipment did you have in there?
We had at least one boom mic in the attic. I think that's the only microphone we put in there because there was a part of the attic, it's like exposed floor.
Mm.
So we had one mic in the living room too, but they were picking each other up.
Oh,
we
couldn't
make anything out.
Yeah.
So I think we just went with the one in the attic.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we have one in the basement?
I don't think so.
Nothing was going on in the basement, though.
See, nothing was going on in the house.
I didn't feel anything in the basement, but you go into the living room or the bedrooms, and especially the attic, it was so much energy, it almost like made your fingertips numb.
Wow, that's scary.
But he didn't believe it.
Do you feel that that's where they were doing their rituals, if it was said?
I don't believe that they did their rituals there. They could have done that in their garage or in the backyard or something.
Yeah. As far as I've always seen, they've always done it outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it just still boggles the mind that, one, they would keep all the bones and put them in the walls. So maybe it was a blessing thing. I don't know. But it's just so many.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, if you think about it, if it happened over years and years, yeah. But to build up that many bones.
Well, we found some really weird stuff when on the second night. We found old letters, handwritten letters that were under the floorboard.
Oh my gosh.
And what a weird thing to do. You know, one was completely in Spanish and we couldn't figure that one out. We have somebody actually translating it. But then the next one was this really weird scorned lover type of.
I gotta read it.
letter, and it sounded like she didn't understand that they were in a relationship or anything like that.
Well, that's typical.
It was. Does that happen to everybody?
Sounds familiar. Yeah. I think I'm going through that right now.
Yeah, but it was very interesting. And it was, the papers were so old and they were like crumbling in your hands.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we got photocopies of them and stuff and gave the originals back to the owners. And it was interesting. I mean, you add that in with the personal items mm-hmm. finding underneath the floorboards and then the bones. Mm-hmm. It really sounds like some kind of, almost maybe he punished this woman for not taking interest.
That's mm-hmm. possible.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Definitely. Now, have they done any excavations or digging around the house, like out in the yard?
Not yet.
Not yet. You want to borrow my metal detector, let me know.
Yeah. Well, you might find a filling or something on a tooth. You know?
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I think they're pretty much done with surprises at this point. They've had their fill.
Yep.
These poor people.
What about the neighborhood? Has anybody else in the neighborhood said anything about their houses?
We didn't go speak to people in the neighborhood. It's not the friendliest area. On our first night of investigation, we're upstairs in the attic and we hear pop, 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 pop.
Oh, snap.
Somebody got shot in the head, like three houses outside.
Oh, my God.
From where we were. And we were just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you think that ghost hunting or paranormal stuff is dangerous? Oh. You have no idea.
Yeah, we've said that before, where some of the most dangerous things are the living.
Right.
Yeah,
really.
You know, and then again, that neighborhood has so much negativity in it. Mm-hmm. Who knows if it was brought on by something like this, sure. You know? You never
it
know.
It really
be
does.
Just embedded in the land and the area mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever else. Mm-hmm. It's in the actual physical, you know, boards of the house.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we've always said that the houses always absorb the energy.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Hello. And then they're absorbing and stuffed with bones.
Right.
So what, after you had that activity where, you know, the board got thrown at, it was one of your team members, right? Or was it?
I was upstairs. I couldn't remember until I saw the footage. Mm-hmm. Exactly what had happened, but something caught my attention to the right of me. And I don't know if it was a lot of energy or something that kind of pulled me in that direction. I'm looking at it, and I know I was waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear bing, 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 boom, like real, it was crazy. It sounded like it was being ripped out of the wall, like with nails on it or something, like just trying to pry it out and then thrown. And that was maybe 4 feet in front of us where it landed.
Right.
And we were trying to walk down the steps. And these steps are horrible. Yeah. Like, it's a straight shot down in these little tiny, you have to balance on mm-hmm. them to get
oh
down.
Oh, my gosh.
So the whole time you're doing that, I'm always paranoid about it. I'm like, you push me down these stairs and I will bless this entire house. You will have no place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make me stop this investigation.
Right.
It's like, well.
Yeah, you could, on the video, you can hear what sounds like the nails being
ripped out
of the, I mean, like when you pry an old board up, yeah. You hear that nail squeak, you can hear that right before it hits.
That's amazing.
And it's, I just... They're full of it. They're mm-hmm. telling me a board is thrown at you. You tripped on something that hit something else. It's a mousetrap effect. It's something. I saw it. It's something
he
got thrown.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah. And I thought he was totally screwing with me. Like, he sent me a message and he's like, "You were right. The bone house is, you know, it is on it." And I was like, "Shut up! I'm sick of you making fun of me about it," kind of thing. You know, like, whatever.
I must have watched it. I watched it like 100 times or so.
Wow. That, yeah.
It's. There were nobody was anywhere near that area where mm-hmm. it hit, and you can clearly see. I mean, it's dark, and all you got is the camera spot, and then her flashlight, which was green at the time for some reason.
I like to use the colored ones mm-hmm. because then it doesn't ruin my night vision.
Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking about that too, of putting red filters over all our mm-hmm. flashlights. Right.
And so
see?
It's when you
thought they'd be on your team
when the different lights are. You know, going side to side, and then but you do see the board and you see it bounce. And
wow, I gotta see it.
And yeah, it hit with enough force that it bounced into the air. And
so. That takes a lot of energy.
Yeah, yeah, something that's just falling off the wall is not going to bounce like that.
And then I had everybody looking through all the photos we took. Is it, find me the picture of that board and that part of the attic. I want to compare the two. And yeah, there's no way. And I had
like four photos of
it. It didn't just fall. Nobody knocked into it, didn't fall. It was some type of force pushed it or threw it into their direction.
And that's great to bring up for your preemptive investigation where you walk through the house, take those photos during the light so you can see where everything's at, you know.
And we take them in threes so you can compare the photos and see if there are any slight changes, even just doing a walkthrough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've heard before different teams tell us, setting up equipment, they're getting EVPs that they didn't even know about, you know. So the minute you get out of your camper, turn your recorders on.
That happens. We've had that happen where we're setting up and not even completely ready to go, and we're hearing phantom music playing, you know. I mean, it's very strange.
Interesting. Oh, that's my phone. Oh, okay. I'm getting a little feedback here. So that was the first night that you investigated, correct?
That was the second
night. The second time. Yeah. Okay. Have you had any calls since then?
I have not, but have you heard from me? I blessed that home pretty well. We did a nice cleansing, and then we also had a priest come and bless the home. And when he came in, when we came in with the priest, I could feel it was still there. It had a lot less energy, and I could still feel it was a little bit there. The priest even had said that he could feel something was there, that it needed blessing. And then once he left, I know in my experiences with doing exorcisms, so when he brought it up and told the story, I was like, he's completely correct. It does happen a lot. When you do a blessing and it's a dark energy or a dark entity, evil, they almost try to get revenge on you.
Yeah.
For
I've heard that a lot.
Exorcising them. And within 10 minutes of him driving, a paper flew onto his windshield, and he couldn't see.
Is this the priest?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
And he couldn't see at all. And then finally when he didn't get in a car accident or anything, but finally when it blew off or whatever, he's looking around, and there's no paper anywhere in the street, anything. It's like this thing just appeared and disappeared.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And he sent him a text, and he said, yeah, it's mad.
Yeah.
We exercised that thing out. It's mad.
Where do you think that energy or that entity goes when they exercise it? Do you think it just goes into a different area? Does it go into the ground?
I think it goes to a different area. And you have to remember, the cleansings and blessings, they have an expiration. So I wonder if they just kind of bide their time somewhere else, you know, catch up with the ghost next door or something. I don't know. You know, some people have had their homes blessed and then found out the house behind them started having things happening. So maybe
does it try to find the closest energy source or the closest
possible,
you know, living person to attach onto, which is scary.
It has to find, I would guess, a taste of a flavor that it likes, an in, you know, if you will. People that battle with depression or mental illness or something like that, if they sense that, they have a better in. They're more vulnerable. If they have somebody up the street that does, you know, seance with their friends for fun, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Then.
Sure.
Party. You know, and we talk about that neighborhood. There's so much negative activity in that neighborhood.
It's feeding on it. It's scary. So how do you guys, you know, protect yourself when you do leave an investigation like that? Or, I mean, you don't know if it's going to come home with you.
Preparing for the bone house was interesting because I was expecting the worst. I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But I did a fasting a couple of days before where I'm just constantly praying and going without food. Anytime I get hungry, I'll do a prayer and ask for protection and stuff for myself and my team. I sage myself. I take holy water, salt. I call it the ghost mace, which is the sage oil with holy water in it, and I spray it. I've been banned
from where?
Prayers and blessing the group beforehand because it keeps things away from us. Mm. So they kind of banned me from doing that.
Yeah, what's the sense in ghost hunting when you tell them all to leave before you go in?
Hey, when you throw a board at me, game on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to bless everything, and I'm not afraid.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting. So,
was that the only only evidence that you got?
Oh,
I mean, well, we got
that night. We got a lot of stuff.
The REM pod, the second night, the REM pod hits, and I guess flashlights.
I'm not a fan of the flashlights either.
I just assume throw those out.
Yeah.
I keep them because they do them on television, and fans always ask, "Do you guys do the flashlight?" Yeah. Okay, we'll do the flashlight.
I think we got the growling. Audio.
Yes, we got growling when I was blasting things.
We got some PvP.
Wow.
But again, that's one of the locations I just never really bothered to really review too closely because I had already made up my mind. this guy is just overactive with his imagination.
I think I would be too, though. Like I said, tearing into walls and finding that much. I think I'd be freaking out too, you know, and
anybody would be.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to buy a home and then start ripping it up and like, oh, great.
I mean, that's like the only location we've been to where I've actually been stubborn about.
Yeah.
And that was
Don't listen to that. Every location we go to, he is stubborn and says there's nothing here.
Commodore Perry, I heard the piano.
That's true. The yacht club, you actually felt it.
What did you feel at the yacht club? Was that the after the class?
He had gas.
There's no farting in the studio, by the way. That's one of our only rule. You can eat whatever you want, but there's no farting in the studio.
Only when you cuss, then they're going to put the fart noise. Yep. I'm so excited about that. I keep waiting for it to happen.
Are you going to, this is a side note, but are you going to go with us to the attic?
What the hell is that?
That's the location that we're going to investigate.
Oh, it's mom's house?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. All right. I'll let you know if there's anything in there. I'll call you. Be on standby. Be on call.
Ooh, take me. I'll tell you if there's something there.
All right. Yeah. Definitely in 2 weeks, I think it is.
Everywhere we go, I'm like, I feel energy. And they're like, yeah, yeah. And then something happens. And they're like,
energy is everywhere. And I'm feeling really drained today. I don't know why.
Did you do shopping yesterday?
I got up.
Yeah. That does take a lot out of you.
Here's what I did. So, you know, I had the day off from work. So I went to bed at like 9 o'clock, got up 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm getting out there. Got out of bed about 4:45, got dressed, no makeup, put the hair in the bun, drove to Penny's. There's nobody there. There was nobody there.
I heard that everywhere that nobody really was shopping.
Kohl's was a little bit busy, but I didn't find any really good bargain. Well, I did find one really good bargain, but we can't talk about it on the air because it's Joe's Christmas present. But
I guess Walmart was busy, but that's the
I went to Walmart later in the day, but
yeah. So then I did come home and I took a nap, and I was having a dream. I was in an episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, nice!
And Joe texted me and woke me up. I was so mad,
man,
because it was such. I was a badass and I had guns and I had this outfit and I was gonna get the zombies. And then I
was Negan there.
No.
Oh, man. I would have been like, perfect. It is so hard to hate him. I mean, you have to hate him. He's the bad guy.
He's a dork. I hate him.
I don't like how he leans all the time.
He plays that character good, though.
Yeah, he does.
You know?
I just love his snippy little smart-ass comments. Like,
you can't take him seriously. You just can't. I can't take him seriously anymore.
Was he in the original comic book?
Yeah.
The character?
Mm-hmm. The character, okay. Yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
He doesn't watch The Walking Dead. I'm like,
I love The Walking Dead. I will not miss it. In fact, on Sundays, I'll watch the previous ones leading up to it.
Yeah. Got to get caught up. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, either you're a fan of it or you're not. You know, like, there's like no in between.
Right.
Either you like it or you don't.
So, speaking about The Walking Dead, has anything happened? I mean, what's up with the owner of the Bone House right now? Is he finishing the house?
I guess things are going well, but they're very slowly doing things. At the
what
house.
Are they
going to
do
really
with the bones, though? He's going to leave them, or is he going to bury
them? I told him,
or
if you find more bones, you call us. We will cleanse them, bless them, and then you bury them. You show them respect and do, you know, a whole ceremony, and you know, that kind of thing. Because even if they're the whatever it is, the ritual is broken, they're still bones. You still have to respect them.
They
even
were
if
living
it's
things
animal.
At right. the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
They had their own energy. That.
What about bringing an animal communicator in? Do you think he would be open to that?
No, we're not doing that.
Because we interviewed one on a show before.
She was cool. She was so cool.
She made me cry.
Yeah, Tillman's not really, for a guy that doesn't like psychics, he sure has a lot of sensitives on his group, though.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Has so anybody broke into the house since then?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that neighborhood.
Yeah. Mm.
And there was looked like gang graffiti or something on the attic walls here and there.
On the inside.
But I guess the house was empty for like 10 years.
The drawing of the little girl with the crazy hair was really weird.
Yeah.
That was
paranormal.
So weird. It may have been. That was creepy.
The cool thing we found out about the house was that in 52, I think it was, that a woman actually passed away in the house.
Okay. Oh.
After a long illness, but the obituary never said what it was. And when the news broke on that the bones and he's yelling Satanism and everything like that, he was getting offers from people to buy the house from him.
Mm-hmm.
He bought it for like $1,000. And he was getting offers upwards of $10,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Just interesting.
Have a haunted house.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, leave it as is. Yeah. We'll take it, you know, kind of thing.
And then he had some, I don't remember the exact story. So the guy that came up and wanted to see inside the house.
Oh, no.
What was that?
When he first bought the house, shortly after he bought the house, he was getting letters in the mailbox.
That's right.
A guy wanted to go up into the attic that he knew the previous owners.
Okay.
And he wanted to go into the attic because there was something that belonged to him. Mind you, nothing's in this house.
Yeah.
And he kept leaving notes. He disappeared after the bones.
Yeah, after the news broke.
Right.
Yeah. So there was something up there that he wanted no one to find.
But we found out that the man didn't know the owners. He was married to the daughter of the woman that died there.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, yeah. It's weird that he didn't mention that.
There's a story to this.
Mm-hmm. There's a missing piece, do you think?
That would be really cool, but because everybody's still alive that's associated with it, I don't think they're going to talk to us.
Right.
So a lot of this is speculation. And then historically, there was a veterinary hospital on the next block, and there was a butcher thing over in that area. And a lot of people are saying, well, this is just the butcher. You know, that's a butcher lived there, and that's where the bones came from, which makes no sense. I mean, why?
He would throw them out.
Yeah.
You know, because when I'm done with my turkey dinner, I bury the bones my house. Doesn't everybody?
Let's tear it all out.
But maybe
grind them up.
If this was Santeria, and we're thinking, where do they get all the dogs from and the chickens and the goats? Well, the veterinary hospital, maybe someone brings their dog in and they just say, well, we got to put them down.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't. And they just give them to the Santeria people.
That's so sad. Now you made me sad.
Well, I mean,
that's something.
It's not even happened, but it made me sad to think about.
But it's possible, you know. It's very anything's possible.
Mm-hmm. Really,
you know.
Yeah, but until people start talking or you find some kind of written evidence, you know.
The only evidence we have is the bones.
Yeah.
Everything else we got is going to have to be speculation.
And it uses as a historian, it's probably just you're probably going nuts trying to figure everything out.
But I've kind of moved past it, too, because it's like the more I dwell on it, the more she feels vindicated, and we can't have that.
Come
it
on
just
now.
Kills him, then I was right.
I just wanted to go home then.
Yeah. He did. He sat in the RV, like, refusing to go do anything in the house.
Why?
It wasn't haunted.
He was like, this is a waste of time. And I'm like, Tillman, I don't want to hear another word from you. I'm going to send you home.
Maybe something didn't want you in there and put that in your mind.
No, that's in his mind everywhere we go.
It is not. It is not.
It is. In most places, he's like, I mean, it's a cool location. Good job, Shelton, but there's nothing here.
And then a board flies across.
And then a board flies across.
Or someone gets scratched. Someone gets burned.
The scratch hurt.
Something says my name over the spirit box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I've been reviewing or trying to listen to that, my recording from the rep to find that when it said your name.
Mm. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, as soon as they find it.
That's always creepy to hear.
Very creepy. Hear your own name. Yeah.
So what's on the horizon for the Haunted Toledo?
Yeah, what's going on with you guys?
The big news.
We actually have some big stuff coming up for season two. Nothing we can say yet.
But yeah.
I think it's gonna blow the lid off of.
We're scheduled into July.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys are gonna be busy.
Good. We're not busy now.
Well, you told me in the next few break. Saturdays we have to review evidence.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, that is. Well, it's the fun part because then I'm like, see, you told me that wasn't going to happen. Look, tell me it happened.
Well, because we've been going like every weekend. So we go investigate.
Sometimes Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, just physically on your body. I know, mm-hmm. like Joe and I went 4 weekends in a row. We went ghost hunting. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, I can't. I can't even walk.
And Sunday's all yeah. set to relax and rest up. And then Monday morning, we start researching the next location. So we have like mm-hmm. a terabyte of information that we from August mm-hmm. that we have to go through. Which might, if we go through it like months later, it's probably when you're going to see the stuff you missed the first time around.
Yeah.
So that maybe, usually is what happens.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the best way to do it, Shelton.
That's awesome. Let me think. What would be your dream location right now, like in this area?
Riverside. That was easy.
That was easy. That was easy.
And you guys had that petition going around. How's that doing?
Well,
should we even mention that?
The petition's going really well. Okay. Actually, we have online. We have like close to 800 now signatures on it. We need more signatures. Mm-hmm. It's just so disappointing because we had this location in the bag. Mm-hmm. We had a yes, let's go do this, and then we had this ghost hobby hunter.
Okay.
He hates that wording, but I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
Because the argument is if you pay your ticket to go in, you know, mm-hmm. don't be ashamed. But yeah. he called up Riverside and complained. And his complaint was, well, if Haunted Toledo gets to do it, we should all be able to get to do it too. Gosh.
I don't even want to know who that is. So
we all know who it is.
Yes.
I think I do, but... and. Yeah,
no, we had a.
Yeah.
We had
why do people do that?
Okay, I'm just gonna say one that was very unprofessional.
Yes,
very unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was
uncalled for and rude.
Right, right. And I'm thinking to myself, our bottom line was to preserve the history. I mean, that's the first thing that Haunted Toledo does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We go in and document to preserve history, and tell the legend of the story. We're not trying to prove that ghosts are there. We're not trying to prove the existence of it. We're just trying to do a story. Mm-hmm. This is personal experiences that happened here, and this is how the legend formed, you know, that sort of thing. And his look on it was really, honest to God, if I can't get in with you, I hope it's torn down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so disappointing to find out that there are people out there
mm-hmm.
That way. Oh, yeah. It's such a selfish existence, mm-hmm. you know? What a tiny little man. I mean, he's got to be just so bitter all day long.
Well, you know, it's like we shouldn't be in competition with each other. We should not be have para unity.
Unfortunately, we are though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have a lot of groups that absolutely hate us.
Because we don't do the private residences. Mm-mm. We're not there to help exorcise demons from home. I mean, we're storytellers. We want to talk about mm-hmm. the legends and preserve these stories. And mm-hmm. there is no competition. But
and you're going in trying to get it right from the real people that are there doing it. And mm-hmm. by preserving these buildings, that's the only way that you're going to get the true history of these buildings.
But we have a couple of people, even just recently, yesterday, go on to the petition's comments on our page and say, well, if I sign it, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's not about you.
Read the petition. You'll understand why you're signing it.
Right.
Right. Oh, actually, speaking of, we're doing a toy drive right now for the children at Prometica Hospital. We have a couple of drop-off locations, Wes and...
Country Hearth, Wes and Builders.
Mm-hmm.
Trot and Charlie's, Pizza Populous.
And Banner Mattress.
Okay.
Right. They all have
that's
boxes.
All here in Toledo, Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah. We're just taking new unwrapped gifts. And December 15th?
Yep, December,
the last day of
December 15th, we pick them up, and the 16th, we drop them off.
Okay. You know what I can say one thing about, and this isn't paranormal, but it's related. this area and the people of Toledo are very, very generous. When we have toy drives or there's a water shortage or somebody's house burns down, our community comes out in full throttle.
I'm hoping to see that. And so far, unfortunately, we haven't. I think we've had one toy dropped off so far.
Oh.
Well, we also have a box at a local church, but we don't advertise that as a drop-off because we took the Haunted Toledo logo off the box just for that church, and we don't want a bunch of ghost hunters walking in there with their ghost hunter shirts on dropping off toys.
Into a religious place. But
from what I hear, that box is filling up pretty good.
That's good. Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll make sure we spread the word on our page as well because it's important, you know. I mean, generous.
Yeah, I mean, these kids are very
blessed people. I mean, you know, I have a roof over my head. I have food in my belly. For me to not go shopping and buy some toys for some kids who don't have anything, I think that's...
And they're waking up in a hospital on Christmas morning, you know, just buy them a Nerf gun or something. So
even their siblings, like I go to the hospitals 2-3 times a month, and I go read to the children with one of my books that I wrote. These kids, I mean... Man, sometimes I sit there and I'm reading to them and they have tubes going in for chemo and everything. And they're just these frail little things. And the kids touch me, obviously. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the siblings' looks on their face, you know, they're sitting there and watching this happen to their family. Sometimes that's just as heartbreaking.
And
when you're paying all this bills, high bills for, I think Tylenol in a hospital is like $50, you know, a tablet.
Ridiculous.
So... Ridiculous. Christmas, they may not be able to afford to do it for their family. Oh,
definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So,
yeah, I mean, you know, you don't know. Those parents could be from out of town, traveling. You know, that's a cost right there. When you have a sick child, you have to take time off of work. You know, it's like just because, you know, people are in need doesn't mean they're dirt poor. There's working class people that are still not able to make the money.
And unfortunately, some of these kids, I'll go in to read to them and I'll find out that they haven't seen their parents in a week because their job won't let them take off to be with their kids, you know? Yeah. So
everybody out there listening, get up on Haunted Toledo's site and one, sign the petition.
Mm-hmm. Read it, please.
Read it and sign it. And if you can, you know, if you're in the Toledo area or Tri-City area or whatever, bring a toy down. Bring a box of toys. Yep. Grab a truckload of toys and bring them down. These kids need them.
Definitely. But yeah, we'll work together on that. Awesome. It's important to us.
It's what Christmas is about.
It is. And, you know, it's what we do too. I mean, we give back.
Right.
You know, in what we do, you know, Joe and I have the show and we're just about sharing things with people and trying to put some positive, you know, messages out there. And I know you guys are very generous and do what you do for free. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys don't charge to go in these locations. And that's a lot of time and energy right there. You know, that's your free time. And equipment is expensive. And, you know.
Just to be able to tell these stories and to package them up in the videos and tell the stories and share them with the public. That's the fun part. That's why we'll pay for everything out of pocket, but we won't pay a location to go.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
To go visit.
Right. We refuse to pay for a location.
Yeah. And I mean, Ryan and Nicole, they slapped the logo all over their RV. I mean, that's
big. Yeah.
The loyalty of everybody in the group that's doing this is, and the discipline to do it. And it's like one of those fun jobs you dream about having.
And we have actually brought in some attention to ourselves with different networks talking to us right now. So we've been really excited about that.
And that's good too, because you guys are getting the word out about everything that you're doing.
The mayor loved Commodore.
The
mayor met with Haunted Toledo. Can you believe that nonsense?
I did see that picture on there. Like, what are you and Paula up to?
So we took her to Commodore Perry and showed her the abandoned, the grand ballroom and the lobby area and what else is up there? The banquet rooms, the old restaurant.
So explain to our listeners what the Commodore is, because not everybody is from this area.
Well, it's currently an apartment complex.
Okay.
And it's 19 stories, and it's from the fifth floor up, it's totally remodeled.
Okay.
And the lobby's remodeled. Mm-hmm. Second, third, and fourth floor is still in the base. Well, a lot of the basement is still probably the way it looked in 1980. It's unused. It's not open to the public. It's all drywalled off or boarded off to the public. The fourth floor is more like a structural floor. It supports the towers.
What was it originally?
It was one of the most luxurious hotels in Ohio.
Okay.
In 1927.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was known throughout Ohio as one of
Elvis
the,
was there.
Elvis, Bob Hope. Bob Hope's daughter was married there.
Oh.
It was the best, one of the best hotels in Ohio.
Okay.
And then it hit some rough times. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of businesses do. And it became the Commodore Perry Motor Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And the rooms got cheaper and the quality of guests kind of went downhill a little bit. And then they shut it down for a while. And they used a couple floors for psych wards, I think, and like drug rehab, addiction counseling, things like that. They rent it out to local hospitals.
I think it was the ninth floor was the drug rehab.
Yeah. So the local hospitals were using parts of the building. And then in the 90s, company came in and just started remodeling everything and made it into apartments. Okay. Second and third floor are still the way they're just lost in time. There's no intention of renovating, no intention of doing anything with these floors. Second floor has
gorgeous.
Oh, the second floor has half inch Florentine marble on the floors, the stairs, the columns, the walls.
Why would they not want to use that?
It's in perfect condition. And
it was heartbreaking to hear them like, oh no, we're not gonna do it. Just gonna drywall over it.
Yeah, the mezzanine is gone. They drywalled over the mezzanine, but a couple of chandeliers fell just from age.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say drywall over, we don't mean on top of the marble. I mean like covering up the walkway, so it's just like a straight wall instead of a doorway to go in someplace.
Okay,
right. There are some stairs that go absolutely nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That like breaks my heart because I love old architecture, right. And I'm like, oh.
This place is beautiful. We took the mayor through there, and she's like, she couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's ever been in there before.
Mm-mm. Not in those areas. Only a handful of people have.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just...
Was there any paranormal activity in there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. The grand ballroom. This room is so huge.
Yeah.
The spotlights on our cameras cannot penetrate all the way to the other side.
Amazing. Yeah, it's really
cool.
It was huge. And the murals on the wall. Mm-hmm. They got these probably 30-foot murals all the way around the room. And they depict the story of Don Quixote.
Mm.
And every mural was still in great shape. I mean, that probably faded a little bit here and there, but when you put the flashlight up on them, you could still, the colors were still bright. You could still make out the pictures. Excellent.
It was just a time capsule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all it was. It was just incredible. It's like walking onto the Titanic and seeing everything just come to life, you know?
And that's when, and then we found out that when Elvis stayed there, he got into a fist fight in the bar across the street.
Nice.
I mean, this is history that we should be talking. I mean, I mean, okay, it's not important history, but
no, but it's history.
I was getting into a fist fight in Toledo's. That's something you want to read about.
That's amazing.
Right. And
love Elvis.
The stories there are that, well, for one thing, the stories on the internet about Commodore are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They place the hauntings at the upper floors by the penthouse, and when it's second and third floor. There's a ghost.
Place the ballroom in a different area, different floor, all completely.
So that tells me that whoever wrote those legends online,
right?
They've never been in that building,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they said the ballroom was on the fifth floor or something like that.
Everything was up near the penthouses.
Right. Okay. And it's not true. It's the second and third floors.
And then there's the ghost girl that people see or claim to see. By the stairs leading up to the lobby that's now closed off to the public. Mm-hmm. There's a story of...
Bare footprint, though. That looks like it could have been her, like a little kid.
Well, if we speculate, yeah. It's a weird print.
I mean, you have to picture on this ground, there's so much dust, and it's so well set in that in order to... I put my hand on the ground and lift it up, and there's no imprint.
You had to really dig it in there to get it in.
And you wouldn't be walking around barefoot in this place. There are nails everywhere. There's glass broken everywhere. There's parts of the areas that still have asbestos, you know, crumbling down. So there's like, no, I don't care who you are. You're not going to run through there barefoot.
And you guys found a footprint?
A random footprint. Just
single footprint.
Right.
About just 10. It was like maybe 10.
Facing a wall.
Yeah.
As if they were walking into the wall.
Right.
And it's like a few inches away from the wall. and it's about 10 feet or so away from the door coming into the room.
So there would have been multiple footprints instead of just one.
And there was no other footprints of anybody walking through there or anything.
Well, there aren't now.
Well, now there are.
In fact, I joked with Sarah that she's going to be part of Commodore history because her handprint is now next to the footprint.
There you go.
Yeah.
Should have signed it. Should have autographed it.
I know, right?
Sarah was here.
Put the date on it.
The ghost girl that's wandering the second floor, and now we find out, since we've been there, a lot of the people that live there and used to live there are sending in their stories. Mm-hmm. They're seeing ghost girls walking through the hallways.
And they're having violent things happen, too, on some things now I'm hearing.
The manager told us a story about a few different apartments on the 14th floor of what's going on. And then the maintenance guy inadvertently... He didn't even know we knew the story. He's like telling us the same story.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And people are coming home and all their dining room chairs.
Yep, are rearranged and moved out of a room into another room.
Now that's something.
Yeah.
And they were yelling at the maintenance staff, like, what are you doing in my apartment? Somebody was in my apartment. What are you doing? I mean, and they have no record of anybody being in
there. I'm getting goosebumps right now.
They have some people that are waking up and getting ready for work or something, and then we'll see.
Yeah.
A person standing in their living room or something like that, you know, and just immediately think it's somebody and then they just disappear.
One person emailed the site, said that they lived there for a year and had to finally move out because they kept getting woken up in the middle of the night, somebody pacing at the foot of their bed.
Oh my goodness.
So they've had enough. They want to move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are stories I've never even heard of before.
And now that they're all coming out. Usually that's the way it happens. We're struggling to find a good story with the location. Then after we're already there, then the people come forward and.
Right.
It's like, okay, I guess we got to go back eventually at some point.
Which reminds me, if anybody has any type of experiences with any of the places that we have investigated and you want to be on camera telling your story, we will definitely take that.
Yeah, definitely. Look at their Facebook page, folks, and you'll see all the info. Private message them. Don't throw it up on the Facebook page.
Definitely. Right. Yeah. Definitely. And how, just, you know, remind everybody how they can get a hold of you if they need to.
Well, we have the Facebook page, Haunted Toledo, that they can get a hold of. They can go to our website, hauntedtoledo.com. There's a way to send a message even on the website. So,
and everybody, if you want to remain anonymous, you can remain anonymous.
Yeah. You can even send Christopher Tillman a private message or myself, Sarah Shelton. And I'm usually the one that's always right and handling things. So
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by, you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Like we said before, you're always welcome. Let us know more stories when you...
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to hear that.
I'd love to hear more stories about the Commodore Perry. Maybe we'll have to make a little show on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome stories.
That's some good ones in there.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
We appreciate it.
Well, that was fun.
That was amazing. But I have to tell everybody, I really, truly did get dizzy when I touched those bones. I was touching them through the bag. I just want everybody
to know. Yeah, we never took them out of the bag.
Didn't physically touch them, but I got the dizziest bell. But that was really cool personal experience. And I don't know if you guys noticed during the interview, there was something was knocking. And Sarah and I both turned at the same time. And like, did you hear that?
Yeah. That's the weirdness of your house.
It is. But Joe, it was an amazing interview, and I'm so glad you guys joined us to, you know, listen to this. This is real life stories.
It is.
This is really happening out there,
it's
people.
It's the beginning of a legend. Christopher didn't say it in the show, but we talked about it afterwards. It's the beginning of a legend. 10 years from now, you're going to hear about the Bone House in Toledo that has all kinds of demons and all that in it. There was 17 or 18 people hacked up in this house. But that's how legends start.
Yeah.
You know, this is great. But thanks Chris and Sarah for stopping by. We had a blast.
We did.
It was a fun night.
And you guys, if you get a chance, go to our website. It's been revamped a little bit.
Yeah, Dana worked on our website while we were working on the tattoo shop.
It was cool. So go to www.222paranormal.com. And check us out.
Yeah, I'm going to post. I did take pictures of the bones.
Good.
So I'll post it in the photos part of our website.
Yeah, definitely scary looking.
But anyhow, folks, thank you for listening to another week.
Yes.
We really appreciate it.
Yep. Like, comment, share our page. We appreciate
it. Yes, please share our page with all your friends. and we will talk to you next week.
Peace out.